Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popwich. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, Faisal. I'm great. How about you?
I'm good. What an interesting week in the markets. A lot of volatility, of course, but conversation about the big I word, and it came on Friday, inflation.
Right.
It's here.
Well, it's been here for a while.
And it's big.
The number was big.
Okay, so let me set this up for you.
Okay.
In the U.S., inflation rate hit a 40-year high. The last time we saw this number was back in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. At the same time that announcement happened, the market started to go up. Why? Why the heck would the markets go up when we've got 40-year high inflation rate?
Okay. So a couple thoughts on this, and it's not just inflation the market's worried about, but let's single that out for a moment. So headline U.S. inflation comes in at 6.8%, which was, quite frankly, in line with expectation. So number one, it wasn't a surprise.
Okay.
Market had been pricing it in. The other issue is you've got to look at central banks. Okay, what is central bank? So if it's not a surprise, and quite frankly, there was a whisper number, Faisal, that was at 7, right? So the market was set up, and there was a cautious trade on the day before. The market was set up for some volatility. Mm-hmm. It was interesting to watch pre-markets trade and so on and so forth when that number came out. Move forward, not backwards. And I think there was a bit of a relief that it wasn't worse than what was expected. But the other issue is you've got to take a position on what you think central banks are doing. Can they control it or not, right? You have to decide whether or not you're going to fight the Fed, fight the Bank of Canada, fight the Bank of England, because all of the central banks have taken the position that although we've dropped the language around transitory or temporary, right? Central bank guidance is still that we will likely see inflation probably rise from here, peak somewhere in the early part of 2022, and then start trending back down later in the year. And so, I think there's a number of factors at play that would allow markets to move forward when that news initially broke. It's still a concern, don't get me wrong. You still want to be positioning and thinking about where you think it's going to be. And then you have to layer in all the other stuff that's going on, right? Let's face it, the Omicron, the shutdowns in the UK, right, temporary, all of those things influencing mood as well.
Let's go to the Omicron variant now. We're getting a bit more data this week than last week when the announcements were made about this, over the last couple of weeks, actually. People are starting to see the impact of it to some degree. We talked about it, and when it first came out, we said, the next 3 to 4 months, we're going to get more and more information, and the pharmaceutical companies will be able to get more data. It seems like everybody is playing the Twitter game. Let's just talk about it right away really quickly without really thinking it through. I think Big Pharma's doing that, and some of the major brands were saying, oh, our vaccine doesn't help. Oh, yeah, it does. You need 4 boosters, you need 37 boosters, whatever they're talking about, right? So there's a whole bunch of a shootout of information without really thinking about, is this fact or is this opinion?
Yeah, so that's an interesting point. Let's talk about let's talk about volatility for a moment, because you get volatility in markets when we inject uncertainty into the forward forecast.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's Omicron or inflation or pick anything else, through time. But when you inject uncertainty, you're going to get volatility. So we've got some uncertainty, so we should expect some volatility. Number one.
Yeah.
I think people should brace for that. You know, the Omicron variant is interesting. And again, there is a very wide range of outcomes. So I'm not suggesting you have to pick one or the other, but you have to form an opinion on what you think is happening going forward with our ability globally to handle COVID, right? And JP Morgan this past week put out a really nice, it was a good piece, but there was a comment in it talking about that we are moving towards the end of the pandemic phase and into the endemic phase of
this,
meaning COVID's gonna be around forever, right? And we're gonna have to learn to live with it. But the fact is we're getting information on vaccinations, on their success. Now, whether or not they're successful still, we're in early stages, but early stages seem to indicate that there will be some protection. You've got therapeutics, right? Therapeutics look very positive, meaning if you get COVID and you take these therapeutics, they are effective against the Omicron variant, right? And you've also got then how we live with it, right? What are you going to, so UK government sends people home again to work at home. okay, there could be an economic impact on that if people aren't driving as much or they're not congregating at the office, going out for lunches. Okay, is that permanent now or temporary? Are we going back to a March 2020? These are the kinds of decisions that you have to think through and form an opinion.
Yeah.
So that you can have some form of a look through into the future.
And there's no coordinated effect.
Right.
Let's take a look at our country and the US, just on travel alone.
Right.
That's just one idea. How we handle people coming into our country, including our own citizens, is completely different how the Americans right. handle people going in their country, including their own citizens.
Right.
So when we can't even have two countries that share a border come up with a strategy together at the same time,
right.
how do you expect this variant to be tame in one country but active in another purely because of that? And it's been documented and stated many times
yep.
that because we have governments handling things so differently, the word restrictions, the restrictions are different from territory to territory, location
right.
to location, state to state, province to province.
Right.
Because of all that, you're going to get different type of outcomes.
Well, and you're exactly right. And think about country responses to it. Think about a UK response where we say, okay, everybody go back home and work versus a US response, right? Highly unlikely the US will take that action. And so, okay, where do I need to put my money?
Yeah.
Right? So if the UK or perhaps on a wider basis, Europe is showing a propensity perhaps to go back to lockdowns and restrictions, and there are other countries like the U.S. that would have a lower propensity to that,
yeah.
right? There are economic implications and investment implications of where you should be.
The governments, in my opinion, are acting on the acronym called NIMBY, N-I-M-B-Y, which
okay.
stands for Not In My Backyard. The variants come into my backyard, shut it down,
right.
restrict it. If it's happening somewhere else, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But it's happening in my backyard, I better shut it down
right.
as much as I can. Right? And so you're getting that response from governments, but then you're getting agencies saying, maybe you want to share some of that vaccine with the countries around the world that don't have the same type of vaccination rates as you guys do.
Right.
Because you think it's going to just stay outside of your backyard because you can control
right.
people from going
yep.
out, people from going to the movies or whatever else. No, it's not going to happen that way. So there's a big change. Again, more volatility will come into play. And because of that volatility, uncertainty about your future and your retirement is hard, especially when you're not doing much and your portfolio is going up and down
yeah.
and all over the place. So it's an interesting point in time. I think this is where we love our jobs because now we get to actually figure things out and help our clients along the way. One key thing that I do know that in today's show, why we're bringing it up today is because we've got two great pieces of great guests on our show. One's going to talk about tax tips.
Yep.
People are asking, should I take more money out of my retirement savings plan? Even though I don't need the money, should I take it out? Or
as a tax strategy.
As
right?
a tax strategy.
Yeah.
Or should I keep it in there? And they're worried about higher taxes
right.
in the future. And the second one, Dave, get ready to open up your wallet. It looks like your auto insurance might be going up.
Well, there's some changes that are going to affect different people in different ways in Alberta on car insurance, right?
Right. And so what's changed? How much do we have to pay more potentially?
Yep.
Why the change?
Yep.
I thought everything was okay in the insurance industry here in Alberta. Apparently not.
Right.
And so let's find out what's happening. And all this is all leading to a key thing that people are worried about. Expenses that are going out that they cannot enjoy, their lifestyle, their vision in retirement. And so how do you bulletproof that through every situation that gets put to you? If it's an increase in cost, if it's higher taxes, if it's a variant that's slowing yep. down your ability to be traveling and other things in your retirement. We're going to talk about how to bulletproof your retirement on Tuesday, January 18th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay, so stick around after the break because we are going to discuss, well, if you're interested, should you be taking more money out of your registered plans from a tax perspective? We're going to address that and more tax tips or more year-end tax tips as well. So stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.